Canto 3, Chapter 25. The Glories of Devotional Service. Sri Shaunaka said, "Even though being unborn, the Supreme Lord personally, from his own potency, took birth as Lord Kapila, the analyst of the ultimate truth, in order to disseminate transcendental knowledge for the human race. Despite repeatedly hearing about him, the foremost among the yogis and the godhead of the Vedas, the greater of whom cannot be found among men, I am essentially not satisfied. Please describe to me, faithfully, all the praiseworthy actions of the independent Supreme Lord who is so full of the delight of the soul." Sutta said, "Because he, as a friend of Vyasadeva, was pleased with being asked about the transcendental knowledge, the venerable sage Maitreya then spoke as follows to Vidura." Maitreya said, "After the father had left for the forest, Lord Kapila stayed behind at Lake Bindu Sarovar in order to please his mother. When he, her son, who could show her the path to the ultimate reality, someday comfortably sat before her, Devahuti remembered the words of Brahma and addressed him." Devahuti said, "O my lord, I am very disgusted with the prevalence of untruth of my agitated senses, because of which I fell into the darkness of ignorance. After so many births, I, by your mercy, have now attained you who are my transcendental eye to overcome this so difficult to defeat darkness of not knowing. He who is the origin, the supreme lord of all beings and the master of the universe, has, with you, like the sun, risen to the eye that was blinded by the darkness of ignorance. You engaged me in this misconception of I and mine, so now be pleased, my lord, to dispel the delusion. With the desire to know about your material and personal aspect, I offer you my obeisances, who are the greatest of all the sages of the true nature. I have taken to the shelter of your feet because you are the person deserving it. You are, for those who depend on you, the axe that cuts the tree of an existence ruled by matter." Maitreya said, "Thus hearing about his mother's innocent and common human wish to be successful on the path of liberation, he, with the mind of approval, slightly smiling with his beautiful face, expounded on the way of the transcendentalists." The Supreme Lord said, "I am of the opinion that the ultimate benefit for mankind consists of the discipline of yoga of relating to the soul, by which complete detachment from whatever pleasure and distress can be attained. O pious mother, I will now explain to you what I formerly explained to the sages eager to hear about the perfection of the yoga system in every respect. The state of consciousness of the living being is held responsible for the bondage and liberation of the soul. In attraction to the three basic qualities or modes of nature, one is materially conditioned, but when one attaches to the soul of the universe, the original person, one is of liberation. From the impurities of lust and greed and such, which result from the misconception of I and mine, one is freed when the mind is pure in being equipoised without distress and pleasure. It is in that state that the person who is pure and transcendental to material nature does not consider himself as being different, but, self-effulgent, sees himself as simultaneously complete and small. With the mind full of spiritual knowledge, renunciation, and connectedness in devotion, one is indifferent about one's material existence, that is then less of influence. There is no yogic path as auspicious for the perfection of the spirit as the performance of devotional service for the Supreme Lord, the complete of the soul. any man of knowledge knows that strong attachment constitutes the entanglement of the soul, but that for devotees that same attachment opens the door to liberation. Being tolerant, compassionate, friendly to all living beings, and inimical to no one, being peaceful and abiding by the scriptures, the sadhu, the man of virtue, of holiness, a seer, is adorned with sublime qualities. They who are persistent in performing devotional service unto me, refrain staunch for my sake from acting in desire, and give up on family ties and friendships. Delighted to listen to the stories about me, they fix their minds upon me and chant my names without causing distress with their various penances. O virtuous mother, try to develop a bond with these devotees who are free from all attachments, for they are the ones who compensate for the harmful effects of being materially entangled. Through association with saintly souls, the stories cultivated in discussing my heroism become a joy to the ear and heart. When one is of that choice, then, firmly being convinced on the path of liberation, experiencing the attraction, soon devotion will follow. Someone who in devotional service got detached from sensual pleasures will, on the path of yoga, uniting his consciousness, constantly thinking about everything that I arranged, in this world that is seen and the next world that is heard about, be engaged in the endeavor of controlling his mind the proper way. By not being the servant of the basic qualities of nature, by developing spiritual knowledge on the basis of renunciation, by fixing oneself on me in yoga, and by serving me with devotion, a person in this very life reaches me, the true self within all souls. Devahuti said, "What is the proper concept of devotion unto you that is fit for me and from which I immediately may find liberation at your feet? O embodiment of truth, you explained that yoga is the way to focus on the Supreme Personality. But what form of yoga do you refer to exactly? What does it entail and what all needs to be done in order to comprehend the ultimate reality? Please explain this to me, so that I, with my limited understanding, O my Lord, by your grace, as a woman, may easily understand what is so hard to fathom." Maitreya said, "Kapila, understanding what his mother wanted, being born from her body, sympathized with her, and thus described the truths handed down in the cyclic succession of what one calls analytical yoga, a form of yoga that in fact concerns an extension, a further development in devotional service." The fortunate one said, "It is better to be of service to the Lord than egocentric to strive for fame and perfection. It is the natural inclination of the undivided mind to serve according to the scriptures, that what is purely good and true, and of the senses in their detection of sense objects to be of service as gods. This devotional service quickly dissolves the subtle internal dealings of one's material motivation, the subtle body, the way food is quickly consumed by the fire of digestion. Pure devotees, who engaged in the service at my lotus feet, endeavor to attain me, never ever desire to be one with me. They assemble to glorify my personal activities in association. O Mother, they see my smiling face and eyes that are as beautiful as the morning sun, and together speak in favorable terms about the benevolence of my transcendental forms. With their minds and senses captivated by those forms, who are so charming in all their limbs, exalted pastimes, smiling glances and words, their devotion secures them a place in my subtle heaven, even though they do not long for that liberation. Because they do not desire my opulence or the eightfold mastery over the material illusion, nor follow a desire for the splendor of my supreme divinity, those devotees in this life enjoy the blissful state of my transcendence. O Mother, my devotees will never, not by time, nor by a weapon of destruction, lose me, who was chosen by them as their dearest self, son, friend, preceptor, benefactor, and deity. Thus, wandering through both this world and the world of the more subtle experiences, they, who in relation to my embodiment in this world have given up on the desire for wealth, cattle, houses, and everything else, unflinching in their devotion worship me, the all-pervading Lord of Liberation, for I take them to the other side of birth and death. No other person, or anything else but me, the supreme Lord and original ruler over matter and the person, the soul of all souls, can put an end to the terrible fear of birth and death. Out of fear for me, the wind blows and the sun shines. Out of fear for me, Indra showers rain and fire burns. And out of fear for me, death is all around. Absorbed in spiritual knowledge and renunciation, yogis free from fear for the ultimate benefit in bhakti yoga take shelter of my feet. The only way for people to find in this world the ultimate perfection of life is to steadily focus their mind in an intensive practice of devotional service to me.